Morning, guys. Thank you, Imagine. How is everybody? Good. I'm really excited about these next few days. I'm very grateful the teachers have allowed us the opportunity to do this. It's a little bit of an experiment, and hopefully God will really speak to you over the next little while. It's a huge privilege to be able to introduce my good friend Phil. Some of you will know him from some videos you've watched, like Quest and some, I don't know, other places if you've been on camp or whatever. I've known Phil, I reckon, about 18 years now. So we were in the same church together in Britain, and we climbed, fished, laughed, preached, traveled, insulted, hit each other on a regular basis, like all good friends should. So there's not many people, I said this to middle school this morning, there's not many people that as a pastor I can kind of trust this thing with and you guys with, but I know I can with Phil, so I'm really, really pleased that he's put these few days aside to come and speak and hang out with you guys. If you see him in the hub or whatever, then feel free to come and chat. So I just want to pray for Phil, and then Phil, I'm going to hand it over to you, mate. Is that all right? He's got a weird accent, by the way. I don't understand the word he talks about. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, that we can gather together like this as a community. And Lord, we're not breaking any laws. We're not doing anything we shouldn't be. In fact, we're doing everything that we should be doing as human beings, which is glorifying and worshiping you. And God, I pray that over the next few days, as we hear your word, and even as we think about those who are going into rush over the next 5 days, God, I pray that there will just be lots of God moments. There will just be lots of moments where we really hear you speaking to us clearly. And so, Father, we just thank you that Phil has put time aside. And we just pray a blessing upon him, charge him up, anoint him, Lord, for all that he needs to do now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I ask Phil to come up, just let you know, tomorrow and on Friday, we've got a guest worship leader and a couple of guys coming through as well. So they're traveling up today. So tomorrow and Friday, we can look forward to that. Phil, let's give him a big welcome, please, KCS.
Good morning. How you doing? I'm fine, thank you. Thank you very much. See, he cared. Thank you. It doesn't help with your grades or anything. You're still not going to graduate, dude.
You will. It's okay.
Hey, I didn't. Look at me. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine, this is going to be harder for some of you than others, but I want you to work at it, right? I want you to imagine that you're a young, Jewish, teenage girl. You with me? Don't imagine that hard. That's really scary. It's gorgeous. Okay, so a young teenage Jewish girl, and you may be asleep. You may not be. But it's just a normal day. Right? Normal day. Nothing special has happened today. It's just a normal teenage Jewish girl. You know, walking on.
Hi.
Normal teenage girl. A Jewish girl. And so, I don't know any chicks that actually walk like that, which is really stupid. Unless you've hit him with something really hard and sharp and heavy, and you can't do that because it's anti-bullying day. Okay. So, just normal teenage girl just walking along, and you had a normal day, and maybe asleep or something like that, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this angel comes and stops right next to you, right? Because we know from the paintings on the ceiling of the Vatican and the Sistine Chapel that angels look like rather large, fat, naked, flying babies, okay? So that's gone. Which is a really disgusting thought if you think about it. Because they don't have diapers on, do they? Right? Which means that heaven is going to be full of flying poo. So, fat naked flying baby comes, stops, and goes, greetings. Only with an echo, right? Because angels and God have an echo, right? Greetings, eatings, eatings, eatings. You who are highly favored of the Lord, Ord, Ord, Ord. And Mary is distressed and confused. Well, so would I be. I wouldn't. Because I'm a man and I would just be confused. Mary is a chick, so she can multitask. So she does stressed and confused. Right, so she can do that. Does it very well. And you're sitting here thinking, hang on a minute, Phil, you got it wrong, you daft English immigrant. Listen, you can't talk to us about Mary now. It's not Christmas. But if you think that we celebrate Christmas on December the 25th, then if the story's true, this scene happened somewhere around this time in the year. Didn't happen at Christmas. You get it totally wrong, right? God, 9 months. So somewhere around late March or February time, if we're going to celebrate Christmas at December, this scene happens, right? Greetings. You are going to have a child. What really? What really? Yeah. Yes, you. You. No, no, I can't have a child. Well, why not? Well, you know. But, you know. Spermy thing and egg. We were listening to Glenn. I've listened to Glenn. I've not done the whole commingling thing. We've not done the wild thing. I'm not having a kid. What do you mean? I can't have a child. I'm a good student. No, don't worry, Mary. It's okay. Because God is going to take care of it all. Oh, what didn't you say? Fine then. Let it be unto me as the Lord says. What a great statement. Let God do with me whatever he wants. That's okay. And you know what happens next? The angel disappears. Just goes, boom, leaves her on her own. On her own. And reality hits the fan. And you've got a little Jewish girl walking around town with her lad, Joseph. And Joseph's looking at her. Those jeans make you look fat, darling. Hey, Mary. You're packing on the pounds a bit, aren't you? No, Joseph, it's okay. No, I'm not gaining weight. It's okay. I'm pregnant. You what? You stinking what? I know. We didn't. I was listening to Glenn. He said, don't do that, you know, so don't do that. And we haven't. What do you mean you're pregnant? Hey, have you been going? No, you don't understand. Joe. It's okay, Joe. It was in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Read the story when we get to Christmas. It was an angel. You what? It was an angel. Are you smoking crack? What do you mean? was an angel. There was an angel. I was sleeping in his bed. An angel came. God told me he was going to meet him. I am. Me. I am the virgin spoken of in the Old Testament. Me. I am her. And Joseph's thinking, you're off your freaking tree, you are. Like, what do you mean you're the... And so he goes to sleep. And in Matthew, verse 20, while he's asleep, what happens? And he wakes up and goes, put a diaper on, for goodness sake. What are you... Fat, naked, flying baby next to your bed. That's, you know, you don't need that, right? You really don't. And he goes, what's going on? And he goes, Joseph, listen, mate, it's okay. Look, you can take Mary as your wife, because actually she's telling you the truth. And he's saying, what, really? Yeah, really. This is, God has decided. I love that phrase. God has decided to do this. And it is wonderful in his sight. God's decided. God, oh, okay, well, cool, okay. So Joseph's out with his mates, right? And they're walking around the town. And one of his mates goes, hey, I noticed some people, like, some rumors, mate, flying about. And people are starting to beacon off about your Mary, mate. And she's packing on the pounds a bit. Like, what's going on? Oh, no, she's fine. She's pregnant. What do you mean pregnant? Weren't you listening to Glenn? He was talking about it. No, we didn't. No. It's okay. It was an angel. You're freaking mad, you are. No, really, Joseph. It was an angel. Joseph, angel, Mary, God, birth. That is the stupidest, absolutely ridiculous excuse for being knocked up that I have ever heard in my life. What are you thinking? That's absurd. It's ridiculous. Oh, I spat. Did you see that? Oh, boom. That was a really good spit, Glenn. I could spit for Canada. Yes. That was a good one. The guy didn't hit anybody. You don't want to get AIDS again. Anyway, it's a stupid... I did it again. Look at that. I'm going to... It's a stupid excuse, absolutely ridiculous idea to think that somebody could be made pregnant by God. What an absolute dumb idea. I was with a bunch of girls last week in the maximum security prison in Victoria, and one of the girls there was carrying a kid, and she's about 5 months long. I said, how long are you? She's about 5 months. Oh, okay. She can be born in jail, which isn't really the best start. Really, you know, great girl. So where's the dad? She said, oh, he's inside somewhere else, you know. But oh, okay. But she didn't say it was an angel. Never heard anybody use that excuse. Why? Because it's stupid. Doesn't make any sense. Unless it's true. Because it's the dumbest excuse to dream up on the face of the earth. Unless it's the truth. And the implications of it being true are incredibly frightening. They scare the pants off me. The implications of it being true. Because you see, if what Mary says is right, and if this actually did happen, the way that it's written in Luke, then that makes it true. Which means that if that is true, then maybe what Jesus said in the rest of his life is also true. Maybe it's just true. Maybe in John chapter 14 and verse 6, when Jesus said to his mates, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, no one comes to God except through me. That cannot be true. That is just so stinking arrogant. What do you mean you're the only way to God? Who do you think you are? The Messiah? Why don't you glow in the dark? Switch the lights out. Let's read a book by the light of Jesus. What are you? Your stepdad's a carpenter. You're born in a nothing little city outside of, in the Middle East. You've never traveled any great distance. What do you mean you're the only way to God? What an incredibly arrogant thing to say. I am not buying that. Sorry. Not buying into that. You can keep that. You know, I'm not buying that. No, that's wrong. I'm not having that. Wrong. It's too arrogant. It's too exclusive. It's too we're right and everybody else is wrong. I'm not buying it. It's politically incorrect. What do you mean you're the only way to God? What do you mean? What are you thinking? No. I can't believe that you'd be that arrogant to actually say that. And then there's a third choice. Well, maybe he's telling the truth.
This is a comfy one, this one. It's a comfy one. It should have a cushion, really.
It's comfy. I'll tell you why it's comfy. It's because most people sit in it.
Oh, it's lovely. It's lovely, this. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'd like to think it's true, you see, because Jesus said, I'm really not sure, you know. I'm really not sure, though, that I want to pay the price. You see, because Christianity isn't free. It's never been free. It cost God everything. Somebody has to pick up the tab at some point. Cost him everything. And when he offers it to us, his grace is free. But Christianity will cost you the whole of the rest of your life. Well, hang on a minute, Phil. Well, that seems a bit strange. Well, when do I get my life back? Well, when you die, you jerk. You get to live this incredible adventure while you're alive. And then when you die, God gives you a whole new life. How cool is that? Okay, well, I'm in. I believe it, right? Me, I believe it. Believe the whole thing. I'm in. Bought into. I love it. Great. Sign me up. I'm in. And some of you are too. When you're singing the song, you're not just singing. And some of you even do the backwards hands gliding thing. And you mean it, and you're there, and you're loving God, and you want to serve Him, and it's tough some days, and you totally screw up other days, but it's all right. Because you're there, you're in there, and you think, yes, that's me, I want to be there. But then others of you are thinking, no, it can't be right. I'm not prepared to pay the price. I'm just going to sit here. I'm sitting, no, I'm not. I'm not doing this at all. I'm just not going to. I can't believe that God would be that arrogant. Because if it is, if that's true, then that means some people are going to wind up in hell. And I don't believe that God could send anybody to hell. Listen, jerk, he's God. He can do whatever he freaking wants. Just remember that. The Bible starts with four words. In the beginning, God. Doesn't say in the beginning, you. Doesn't say in the beginning, me. Doesn't say in the beginning, Colonial Christian School. Doesn't say in the beginning, Baptist. Doesn't say in the beginning, Catholic. Doesn't say in the beginning, Islam. Doesn't say in the beginning, Christianity. He says, in the beginning, God. He's God. He will be there at the beginning and the end. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. He wrote the rules. You say, well, hang on a minute. I don't think I like that. Well, then you just use it there. With all the implications that carries. And then the rest of us, we're all quite comfortably sitting here, right?
It's a comfy chair. Nice chair, this. I can sit here as long as I want and just think about it and weigh the difference.
Oh, yeah. I really would like to avoid an eternal barbecue. I don't look good burnt. You know, it's not my best look. I think I'd rather fat, naked, flying babies chasing planets, you know. No, I don't want to do that. And it's a massive choice, huge, huge choice. But from the moment that we were born, we've been thinking and making choices. From the moment we were born, they did a study asking people what their earliest memories were. And right back to the earliest part of their childhood. But nobody could actually remember being born. Isn't that bizarre? It's actually a very good thing that you can't remember being born, right? You know, because like for one moment you're nice and you're warm and cozy, you know, and relaxed. Sucking your thumb away in the womb there, you know. Then all of a sudden the womb gets a bit drier.
like someone pulled the plug out, you know. I was in a nice warm hot tub a moment ago, like someone's drained it. And then all of a sudden it starts to get a bit cramped, you know. And then all of a sudden you're standing on your head. Head down, feet in the air. And then you go, and then you're getting squashed in this tiny, tiny little space. And your skull, it's very painful for a baby being born, I remember. They say it's really, really painful because your skull plates collapse in on each other and your rib cage collapses in and your pelvis moves and twists about as you get squashed through the birth canal. And all of a sudden, somebody reaches in and grabs you. I mean, you were sleeping a moment. Pull you out. And you're into this cold room, right? With a cold room and it's blinding light and stuff. And everybody's going, and then somebody gets a tube and sticks it in your mouth. They go, sucking all the snot and mucus out of your mouth. And they count you. And then they're going, is it a boy? Is it a girl? Whoa, whoa, buddy. Hang on. I'm naked here. I just don't want your eyes on the road, you dirty pervert. Like, give me a diaper. Cover me up. What do you mean, am I a boy? Am I a girl? Try doing that. Like, it's a little bit embarrassing, and that's why it's a good thing that you don't remember it. But right from birth, you actually start to make choices. When you want to be fed, when you want to be changed, you start screaming and shouting. I was sitting at a table not long back in Ontario, actually, with this lady who'd had a tiny little baby with a little boy. And he was there, and he was just having his first mouthfuls of solid food, right? And just pulling solid food and stuff like this. And she put the spoon in his mouth, his kid, and he went, all gums, like, just gums around. And he spat it all over the table. And I said, just out of interest, what was that? She said, tofu. And I said, well, nobody likes tofu. What do you mean, tofu? It's not even a real food, you jerk. Like, give him a steak. He's a man. Give him a whole carcass of a cow. How'd you like your steak? Just wipe its bum and smash its horns off. You know, just eat my way from the head to the end. And this kid, this tiny little child, is making a choice. But the choice that we have to make is slightly more important than what we put in our mouths and what we eat. And there's this huge choice to make. And you look at these three chairs and say, well, you know, actually at the moment, probably a lot of my life actually ends up in the middle one. But it's such a hardship. Let me simplify the choice for you. You see, the Bible says, that was Glenn's chair.
Be healed.
Oh, sorry. The Bible says, this is the truth. The Bible says that there's no middle chair. Isn't that strange? You see, some of you are sitting here thinking, crap, I was sitting there. that's where I was. And that's the point. You see, the Bible doesn't give you that luxury. The Bible says that you're actually born here. See, I believe in original sin. Have to, it's in the Bible. Don't like it. Think it sucks. But God makes the rules. And at some point, the only choice I face is when I want to sit here the rest of my life and bear with all the consequences that that has, or if I want to change chairs and go there. I don't have the option to sit around. Because while I think I'm sitting there, the other part of John 3:16 that we never ever quote, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, through him, might be saved. Is verse 17. Verse 18. For those who receive him have no condemnation, but those who reject him are condemned already. We're already in that chair. The only choice I actually have is whether I want to stay there and die in that, or if I want to go over there and live the adventure, and then get a whole new run at this in eternity. That's the only choice I actually face. And that's a scary thought, right? Because we're quite comfortable sitting in that middle chair. And as Glenn said before, that sometimes lots of different things will keep you in here. Lots of different... Your friends sitting on your lap will keep you here. A dog pile of them. Well, you don't want to follow God. No, I actually do. I actually do. I want to go and live the life that God wants me to live. That's the only choice I face. And the great thing is, it's a totally level playing field, because it's the only choice all of us face. Nobody gets it any different. It's the same choice. The question is, where does that leave you? Does that leave you with a bum full of splinters? Because for some of us, it does. I don't have the luxury of a middle chair anymore. I have to choose where I'm going to be and what I'm going to do. And that's a tough choice. For some of you, it's going to keep you awake at night. And as Glenn and I often say, I really hope it does. Which is cruel, but get over it, because it might save your life. Right? Who are you going to serve? Which chair are you going to sit in? Not a multiple choice here. Just one choice. I'm glad God makes it simple, right? Because I'm not that smart. I need things to be laid out. Just give me a choice, God. Just show me. All right, can we pray, please? Father, thank you in Jesus' name that you give us the chance and the gift and the ability to choose to serve the King of Kings. Thank you, Holy Spirit, our friend, that you draw us to you and you make it far more difficult to reject you than it is to follow you. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now, as we think about this, that there is no middle chair. There's no middle position on this. We are either one or the other. Help us to have the courage and the guts that it takes to give our lives over to the King of Kings and to serve him and him only. Keep us safe as we wrestle with this thing that we call life. In Jesus' name, amen. You might be sitting here and thinking, you know, I'm a bit ticked with that. I don't like the implications of that at all. And that's fine. It's a good place to start. And so you know where the hub is, and you know your teachers, and you know your pastors at your church. Go and chat to them about it. Get in their face about it. And I say, come on, explain this to me. How do I change? Is this true? Is it actually in this book? Because it is. I wouldn't lie. It's not worth it. God would melt my head. Okay. So just go to him and ask. It's a great thing to explore. Bless you.
Thank you, Phil. You actually nearly stabbed Bailey with this. Didn't he? He nearly got you. We're going to finish off with singing. Now, some of you are starting to get to know me really well, in that I don't like the let's dim the lights, let's start playing some really nice worship music, and let's start manipulating you into a sense of worshiping God and prayer. But music has this amazing ability to center thoughts. And sometimes it pushes out everything else so we can actually think about the most important things. And that's why we're going to do what we're going to do now, because we're going to just spend a few minutes thinking and praying through what Phil has been talking about. And actually maybe praying and getting right with God. Or we can stay sat in that chair. If we're in that chair, this is a great opportunity just to connect and surrender on a daily basis, what we all need to do. So these times are precious. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't let these times go by. It's not like, you know, let's... And if you're not there yet, that's completely and totally fine. But you just sit quietly and be respectful for those people who do want to worship and pray and think about their Jesus. That'd be awesome. Ready to go? If you want to stand, if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to, whatever, it's all good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there's so many people in this room who can echo those words sincerely, that you have captivated us. That, Jesus, you've captivated me. That you slammed into my soul 20 years ago. And God, I discovered the real purpose and the real reason that I get to breathe every morning is because of you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we will never get tired of that. That, Lord, we would never take that for granted. Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would speak in whatever way is best for individuals in this room, whether it be through nature or music or poetry or art, through film, through your word, whatever, Lord, you choose. Lord, I pray you would draw them to yourself. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for this time we've had today. And we pray for the rest of the week. We pray for the next 4 days that so many of these students are going to experience your word and your worship. We just hand that over to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. That's a beautiful song. Am I going bald? Oh, no. I'm good. Oh, I don't know. It's the scariest thing ever. I've never seen the bing. Oh, look at that. There's Matt Bumlock bing in there. I'm going to stop. I could play with this for ages. Okay. Sorry. I'm going to give you an early lunch because I can do that. Apparently, Mr. Schultz said. So, guys, you are dismissed. It's been a good morning. Thank you, Phil. Good job, worship team. All tech crew and worship team, if you can come to the hub as soon as you can, that would be great. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.